Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I know I've been probably barraging you. Where's the news? Where's the marketing? Give us some marketing. We're dying for the distractions. I get it. What I have to do is I have to kind of put everything together. I know I've thrown a lot of information out at you, and we've kind of wrapped up Madison's property. As you know, in the last episode, I basically put it out there that that Constitution is the property of the states. It's not the Supreme Court's property. The Supreme Court only has a very defined jurisdiction, which is those things that are within the Constitution. The problem is the paradigm has never been challenged because they laid the groundwork that they can consume anything and everything if they feel it's necessary and proper. And I'm here to tell you, my friends, that the evidence actually refutes everything that they have been doing and everything that has been asserted by the nefarious players who have set this stage. We are now in a position where if we do not act, I dare to think of where we will all end up. That's why there's a lot of preppers out there that believe that that's where we're heading. There's a lot of Christians out there that truly believe that the tribulation and all of the problems could actually be leveled upon us. I'm here to tell you that we have control of our destiny. We have control because the divine hand of providence gave us a compact and all of the tools within it. I'm serious. As I've looked back at this, this is almost like a religious epiphany, if you want to call it that, or just a powerful epiphany that has occurred regarding as I put all of this stuff together. And I'm telling you, I was in a, if you, let's say I was in a very solemn state. Some people would consider that a holy state, a religious state, whatever you want to call it. I was in a very solemn state when I felt the burning in my bosom and the knowledge, and actually like the voice came to me just as clear as could be of an affirmation that this Constitution has been designed not only for the framers at their time, but for our time as well, so that we could take the controls back from an unrighteous and tyrannical federal government in doing things that they have no business doing. That affirmation really came in the form of the Article 7, because as I was looking at the Constitution and the light basically came on like this. I'm just trying to share this with you so that you really understand just how profound this is, at least how profound it was for me, that as I was sitting and contemplating in this very solemn state, I go, you know, it's all been contingent upon Article 7. Article 7 is, you know, it's the keystone to the Constitution. And then it dawned on me that we have 7 days in the week. We have the Lord created the heavens and the earth and created man and all of these things in 6 days. And in the seventh, he rested and sanctified his work. And what we have in our Constitution is the framework, and everything has been laid out in 6 articles. The seventh is where the divine hand of providence rested the authority and the power over the Constitution to be upon whom? It wasn't upon him. It was upon us, the states. If you understand how important the states' roles are, that Article 7 clearly points to it. Article 5 supports this. Only the states can determine what can become constitutional, what can't be. I mean, the whole concept of the amendment process absolutely even supports this whole assertion that the states are the stakeholders. The states have all the power. And at that point in time, it was just like, oh my goodness. This, like I said, it was like a rush, a burning in my bosom, however you want to describe that, when you've had that epiphany that this is the right thing to do and you move forward and it absolutely happens. Then I'm here to tell you, my friends, that what I'm here to share with you is absolutely an affirmation. And all you need to do, if you're a religious person, then give it some prayer and fast. You actually take it out to the Lord or whomever, and you put that challenge out there, because what I am here to tell you is that we have the opportunity and all of the power necessary to do what we need to do in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. And so, as you know, we've got some obligatories to get through, but I'm here to tell you that what we've got and what we're doing, as I've laid it all out here, the property of this Constitution, as I pointed out with the way Madison laid it out, Madison talked about personal property. There is such a thing as organizational property as well. The states have property in their rights, as well as rights in their property. And it is time that the states assert their authority over their property, because the Constitution is theirs. And that was the whole point in kind of going through this whole concept of individual liberty and individual sovereignty, and how we kind of created this hybrid constitutional republic, and this concept, this new innovative concept of republicanism, that it's not just a representative of the people, it's a representative of the people and the sovereigns, or actually just get rid of the people in making this as short, as concise as possible. Not that I'm getting rid of people. I'm not stoning, killing anybody. So there's nobody being harmed in this statement. What I'm saying is that this new innovation of republicanism isn't a representative of people anymore. That was the old definition. The new American republicanism is representatives of the sovereigns. Clearly, the people are the ultimate sovereigns in all things. But we have created, and the framers and the divine hand of providence has bestowed upon us, a constitution that has allowed sovereigns of different levels to assume, or for us to delegate powers as people to our counties and our municipalities, all different forms of polities, whether that be, again, the county, state, and or the federal government. We have such an orderly fashion of laying out the governance and civics of humanity that it just blows my mind in how forward-thinking and how insightful the Lord had basically inspired these men to be. There's no doubt in my mind. I had a friend, and just to go on this aside, I had a friend who did research, an academic research on the studies of the men at the time who were the framers. And based on the books that they had, and because it was very limited, you could actually define all of the different books that they actually had available to them. And if all of these men had read every book that was available to them in print at that point in time, there was still a lack of insights and a lack of perceptions that would have given them the ideas to create sovereignty create the powers of sovereignty and republicanism of sovereignty, if you catch my drift on this. The concept of actually giving at the table, at the mantle of power, at the state level, the concept of giving the counties that representation, the concept in the state or the national government, giving the states representation at that table, besides just representation of the people. You have to understand, Britain at the time had the House of Lords and the House of Commons, as I told you. This was well outside their will well. And so my friend, and the reason I'm telling you this is my friend and most all the students that he was associated with this research that they proposed in this study that they did for, I don't know if it was their thesis or what, but they all came to the conclusion that the only way we have the government that we have is because of the divine hand of providence. There was just no way these guys could have been able to design and make up. It's almost like trying to come up with a combustion engine at the same time. The complications and the way things were laid out from both at the federal level when they created the Constitution and how they adopted that down to the state levels by creating bicameral legislative bodies and bringing the counties into the Senate so that the counties had a level of representation. That was just, it was brilliant. It's nothing short of brilliant and insightful. Because as we look at it today, we're going to get into this even more because I'm still trying to summarize. And hopefully, maybe as we move through today, I might actually crack open some marketing and hopefully give you some satisfaction because I know how Americans just need to see the bleeding. They need to hear about, you know, the carnage and the mayhem instead of actually working and focusing on how to fix the problem, because that's what this show is really about, is the focus in how to fix the federal tyranny that we're under. And it's as simple, my friends, as Republic Review. But we will be back and give you even more. I've actually got good news, so please stay tuned, and we'll be right back with some great news after these two comments or two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic Review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so as I promised, we do have some good news for you. We just finished and we've kind of wrapped up, I will just say, a fundamental video on Republic Review. It's a whiteboard type of video. And in all honesty, I thought that there would have been some, you know how you watch those videos that somebody starts drawing out this idea and they, you know, do all these details. And while the drawing is coming to form in front of you, you would hear this text. Well, we were going to go down that path, but we have no budget, and we have very limited capabilities. But what we do have is we had a hardworking young lady who, you know, was more than willing to do whatever she could to create this video for us. And so what we now have is we have a whiteboard presentation on Republic Review. And so what I would ask is, and it currently isn't up, and I hate to tell you that it's up right now, but this is a pre-recording, so I am hoping that the video is available for you when you actually hear this, so that you can go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the Take Action page, and you can actually watch that video. We'll also have it up on YouTube a little later, and so we're going to get this out there so that people can actually see this. So with that, my friends, is good news, because I don't know how long it takes. Maybe this is a 5-minute video, but this is a, you know, quick down and dirty description of the history, setting things up and how things moved out and what we need to do. And this is something that you can share. And most people will probably go, really? Can we do this? Is this true? And that's only because people are so illiterate regarding our Constitution. Obama was a huge illiterate. He was completely dependent, even though he was supposedly some constitutional lawyer, teacher at a law school. What was it, Chicago University? Anyway, the whole point is that this video will actually challenge people's paradigms, and people will go, oh, that can't be true. That's not what we've learned. You've only learned the narrative. People have only learned the narrative of what people want you to understand. So, as I was saying when we were going into the break, I had some good news, and there you go. We've got a video out. And so, we definitely want you to download this, share this with as many people as possible. By all means, help get this word out. This is shorter than my 30-minute lecture. I mean, we really condensed this down to get and pique people's interests. That's the whole point. You know, just, you know, pull their string and go, wow, give them the epiphany, let them get go, you know, this brain freeze, whatever, make them think, huh, wow, this is kind of interesting. I who would have thought? And as I was telling you before we went into this whole good news and break, that it was not who would have thought, but who inspired this. And definitely this is the hand of the divine hand of providence. There is no other explanation available to really actually provide any type of evidence or no real way of being able to come forward with any concrete affirmation that these men were able to do this on their own. I truly believe that there had to have been a multitude of different inspirations that the Lord was working overtime with all of these men, as frustrating as it was. There's no doubt in my mind that they were inspired. You know, if you read anything regarding the Constitutional Convention, and W. Cleon Skousen in his book 5,000 Year Leap talks about the fact that they voted and they worked and worked. If you look at the Electoral College and how they went out of their way to ensure that this was not a direct election of the people, that the smarter people who would represent those people would be the ones who would choose. When they voted for an elector, they didn't vote for an elector that was hands tied in voting for somebody. Now, they wanted to make sure that that person was going to vote for a very particular person. So there was promises that started to be made by electors, but that was never the intent. That is not what is documented. And as a matter of fact, there were cases where men and, or I should say, electors, even in the very beginning, did not vote the way they were supposed to vote because they were blindsided by some of the outcomes in the early election, especially when Washington stepped down and Adams and Jefferson were entangled in their election for Adams won the first time. And then in the second election, Jefferson beat him. And so there were lots of surprises in how things panned out. And so there's no doubt in my mind that you too can share that mind-blowing epiphany when you look at Article 7 and why that was added. It was a simple article that this Constitution had to be ratified. That could have been a cover letter. That could have easily been a cover letter, but instead it was the seventh article. If you look at the seventh article of the Constitution, it is dead. There's nothing to it. It applies nothing other than it gives us the hardcore evidence that it is the state's contract. It required state ratification. And when nine states bought into this contract, that is what created the authenticity of the United States government and creating this general government that had defined and enumerated powers. It's that simple. You could easily pass an amendment to strike and remove the Article 7 from the Constitution, and the Constitution would not be changed one bit. But the fact is that it was the seventh article that bestowed and rested the power and authority, sanctified that Constitution into the hands of the states as the overseers. And when you start understanding the ramifications and the responsibilities of the states stepping up in 1798 with Jefferson and Madison, with Kentucky and Virginia, that was the first attempt in the states trying to step in. All's we need today is Wyoming to take the first stand and to stand up and say, folks, and I know I'm going to have to edit this down, but that was a good pound on the table. Folks, fellow states, we have the ability before it's too late to reel in our child government. We do not have to allow this to continue. At what point are we going to wake up and grab the wheel and steer our states away from this perilous path of demise? With that, I just want to, you know, hopefully you've got it. I know I've been pounding and trying to drive this home. And so hopefully you get this. I haven't even gone into the obligatories. You know, the listen number for us is 605-562-4209. I will tell you that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. People always ask, "What you say RepublicReview.org, but it doesn't exist." It cannot exist until Wyoming stands up. Once Wyoming stands up, they will and they can, and it'll be a part of the architecture of the Union, where Wyoming and the other states will start sharing that domain. So, because it's not my domain, I paid for it, but eventually they will become the owners of the republicreview.org. You could call it almost republicreview.gov, but the .gov means that it would be a very specific government. But because this is an organizational come together kumbaya moment, then a .org is far more appropriate. And who controls the .gov domains anyway? That's right. You think the federal government is going to allow them to create a .gov that would be the impetus of cutting their powers away from them? I mean, we're talking about removing 85% of the powers of the federal government. Getting rid of the BLM, getting rid of the DOI, getting rid of FDA, getting rid of energy, education, housing and urban development, healthcare, Obamacare. How great would that be that you're involved in the wiping out of Obamacare, the scourge of our current fate? We have the opportunities, my friends, and it's just as simple as getting your state legislators to step in and save you. They're the ones that have the authority and the power, and that's where Wyoming, when they stand up, they'll actually be able to work with us, with you, in getting your state and so forth. And we're going to talk more about the strategy of this moving forward, but I've already gone through another segment. And so we'll have to cover this in the next segment. I'm going to blow by the obligatories because I know over what I've got to carry or what I have to inform you with and tell you will probably take the next two segments. Hopefully not. We'll get into some marketing, but we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so, as you know, yesterday I did, and I will, what I'm going to do, because as I realized, you know, as much as I want to find Los Angeles, New York, and those types of polities or municipalities holding some big event for the Constitution. It dawned on me last night as I was trying to sleep, because I always have a hard time sleeping because my mind's always going, but that's my problem, right? Anyway, as I was thinking about, you know, there's so many people that live in all these cities. These municipalities have been suppressing and marginalizing the Constitution for so long. They do not want to bring visibility, to bring constitutional awareness to the people. In doing that, they're holding you down and they are oppressing you. But I'm going to start looking at what we would consider really good conservative cities. So that's what I'm going to do, because I couldn't find anything, just generic types of searches for Constitution Day 2019, celebrations, ceremonies, what have you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go, well, this is a very conservative city, you know, like Louisville, Kentucky. That might be a very conservative. Most cities, though, here's the problem. Even a conservative area and conservative town like Spokane, Washington, very red area. It's a very strong red area. However, Spokane, the city, is controlled by progressive communists. I give you the list. Just go look at who the city councilmen are and even the mayor. And they're pretty much progressive except for one, Mike Fagan. He is the only conservative, and they actually, so there's a power broker in Spokane, and forgive me for going on this tangent or on this aside, but the sheriff of the county is the power broker, and he has been going after constitutionalists, and he's been label lynching them as racist when we don't have racial problems out here. I mean, there are racists, but we don't have racial problems where we have Ku Klux Klan marches going down the street or any crap like that. You find that kind of crap in these progressive cities like Portland, in Seattle, L.A., and those types of places. But it's not the Ku Klux Klan that's marching down the street anymore. It's the Antifa. It is the racist BLMs, those types of people that are, you know, pounding their chest on trying to shift the associated powers and distribute power to themselves very specifically. I mean, you got to remember what social justice warriors are. I have a very specific promo that talks about social justice, and social justice is the redistribution of wealth, outcomes, and so forth and so on. Justice itself, redistribution of justice to give somebody an advantage over somebody else. And the whole concept of social justice is to destroy those who actually are still working and fight. You got to understand that this really, social justice and communism isn't racism, but it thrives on those types of evil paradigms. Let's just say that. But anyway, I can tell you, though, even in Spokane, there is not a big event that's coming up other than the Constitution Party, and it's done by the party itself. The cities, I'm looking for city government. I'm looking for large corporations that are trying to wake up the people on constitutional awareness, and there is a huge lack of it. I remember I started broadcasting on September 17th, 2016, and the intent of doing it on that very particular day, and ACN was the one that let me do it. And so I thank them for actually doing my inaugural or my initial broadcast was on Constitution Day. And then my next day was Wednesday. And so basically I, you know, did a weekly show at that point in time until, you know, by the divine hand of providence, I've been able to make it to Red State Talk Radio. So I'm here to tell you that you can break the pattern. You can break the narrative by demanding and try to get your local car dealership. Please try to do something for Constitution Day to help people recognize, wow, hey, this is Constitution Day? Huh, you'd think that we would celebrate that. It's interesting. We don't celebrate that. Why is that? Because they know if you understand the Constitution, then you'll realize how far we have drifted. That's why I tell you, studying the Constitution and the founding documents of this great republic is tantamount to reading your scriptures and being able to recognize how your Christianity has become perverted, how your government has become perverted. And so let me get back to this republicanism, because we've talked about this. And I wanted to kind of get into this whole concept, because now that we understand the property of the Constitution and who it belongs to, who does the Constitution of the states belong to? Well, it belongs to we the people, right? Just like the U.S. Constitution, because as I've said, the ultimate sovereigns are the people. That means you and I can demand this, but actually, if it's just you and I, then that's not enough. What we have to do is we have to wake up the little monster that has been sleeping in the States for a long time. And that's why I have just educated you regarding American republicanism. What we need to do is we need to wake up your counties. You got to get your county commissioners. You got to get your county supervisors all on board. They've all got to get on board so that they understand that they have the power to actually take back their constitution. You have to remember that we are divided as sovereignties. And so what is the sovereignty underneath the state government? Well, where is the next seat of government underneath the state? Ding, 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 ding. That's right. The light bulb just went on several times. The counties. The counties are the seat of government. They absolutely have. And it's not a subjugated role. It is a sovereign role. Your state, or I should say your county supervisors, your county commissioners. You have commissioners and our supervisors. I don't know. In Louisiana, it's parishes. So anybody in Louisiana, help me out. What do you call the parish commissioners? Parish what? But they are sovereigns. And so they're the ones that have to petition the state legislators in demanding a convention. But we'll get into that in just a minute. But the whole point is that we have to start moving forward and breaking the states up. The historic states that you understand, California, Illinois. And when I say historic, I don't mean in a great way. I just, over the annals of history, we have lived with 50 states, 48, then 50. Over the annals of history, we have not shaken up our republic to the way it needs to be shaken up. And what I mean by that is we really need to start breaking these states down into smaller states and smaller republics. Not down to the county level, but I'm telling you, if you look at the county level, just LA County, and as a matter of fact, while I go into the next break, I think I'm going to research how many people live in LA County, because you now have a county and several counties throughout this republic that probably have more people living within that county than lived in the entire United States. Now, what we can't do is we can't break governments down to such a size to where they can't function. They have to have resources. You look at Somalia, you look at some of the African states that have no resource other than salt water and sand. Until we can come up with a way of making Somalia, Yemen, and some of these, I'll just say, godforsaken places, until we can make those areas, those countries, those states capable of becoming self-sufficient states, then we can't necessarily break states down to a point of where they can't be self-sufficient. Now, if you look at Malaysia, Malaysia is an outlier because Malaysia is a city and a country. It doesn't have resources, but it serves as a exchange. It serves the Pacific, or I should say those countries around it, from Malaysia, China, and so forth, as a kind of like the Cayman Islands. I mean, it's just like Brunei and some of the other places. I mean, there are small outliers that really just serve the rich, the corporations, and that type of thing. So you can get away with that, but bottom line, when all of a sudden things shift, when everything goes online and people look at, you know, I don't need to physically go to the Cayman Islands. I just need to move my money into some place where I can actually hide it. Now, I've told you before, and I want to be very clear. This is my public position on cryptocurrency. It is not property. It moves money from being your property to becoming something that is capable of being wiped away from you just like that. If you have physical control over something, then you can consider that really physical, tangible property, and do not allow money to become a kind of property just like an idea that it doesn't have tangible substance. We will be right back after this.
Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
All right, and so as we get back into what we were talking about, I just want you to understand that we need to start breaking up the states. We talked about the needed or necessary resources. You have to be able to have opportunities for people to work. Now, if you look at Silicon Valley, you actually have the ability to break Silicon Valley down into its own little state, because it has all sorts of commerce coming in that is technology, services, and all sorts of money. It could literally be broken into its own state in the given paradigm. However, it's always good. I'm a huge advocate in making sure that what you define as a state has the requisite resources for the shifting and changing of the world. Because bottom line, you can easily, another state could come along like Omaha, and Omaha could become the next Silicon Valley. Now, here's the problem. The coastal cities will always be the most desirable cities, because who doesn't love to be able, especially California, especially Oregon, especially Washington, because, I mean, if you look at the country, and not that the East Coast is, you know, beautiful as well, because they have a coast over there, and the Gulf Coast, the huge difference between the West Coast and the rest of the coast, and you can challenge me on this, but that's okay, because this is all subjective. This is just my opinion, but I believe the West Coast actually offers the best climate, because the humidity is not nearly as oppressive as it is up in New York or as it is up in Massachusetts during the summertime. And same thing with the wintertime. I mean, the West Coast has the most mild climates, lower humidity. It's just better, folks. And I'm just saying, as far as a comfort for human comforts and so forth. Now, there are problems with the West Coast. The West Coast has earthquakes. The East Coast has hurricanes. So there's these give and takes. And I understand, again, that this is all subjective. But bottom line is, when we're talking about breaking states up, you need to make sure that the state has the requisite resources for its own public utilities. Can it create its own energy? Maybe not. Maybe there's this other paradigm that has to shift. And I'm here to tell you there is a paradigm that will shift, and there is a way forward in creating more than enough energy. And I'm not one of those people that has, bought the new Green Deal at all. I don't believe that the way we're going and with the federal government controlling energy, we are doomed. They are using everything as leverage they're screwing us over. They are transferring wealth in every possible way they possibly can. Go look at, compare disposable income over the past 200 years and where your money has been going. Well, and so some people say, well, we spend a lot of money on energy. You're absolutely right. As a matter of fact, some people spend enough. And when I say energy, I don't just mean on your electrical bill. What about your natural gas bill? What about your gas bill? If you start spending, and putting it all together on your energy, and as a matter of fact, let me ask you this. Do you think you pay for the energy at where you work? I'm here to tell you, my friends, it all goes into your compensation. You're paying for it because your employer has to pay those energy bills. And so we are breaking our necks in trying to pay OPEC and the rest of these oligarchies a lot of wealth. And they're giving us a little stipend so that we might be able to feel like we're getting ahead. And I think more people are realizing that we're just not. But this is a conversation, and again, this is an aside or tangent for another time. It is important that we start breaking states apart, because if you understand the Constitution is not limited to just the contiguous states as well as Alaska and Hawaii. Technically, another state like Estonia could petition to become a state of the United States. And they could sue the United States if they failed to allow them to become and set the stipulations of what it would take for them to become a state. All it takes is for a state to petition. In our own constitution, any state could become a U.S. state, part of the union. But it is incumbent upon Congress to determine what they have to do and what needs to occur for them to become a state with equal footing as the rest of the states. So I'm telling you, if you understand the magnitude of where we are going, then breaking up the 50 states that we have now, Hawaii and Rhode Island, okay, we can't break those up, but we could sure break up Alaska. We could sure break up California and Texas and New York and a lot of these states down into smaller states easily. Now, the whole concept and the whole reason why we had such hard limitations on government, and I know everybody that's listening to this is going, this guy is nuts. We've had hard physical limitations because we could only put so many seats into the Senate's chamber. We could only put so many seats into the House's chamber because we didn't have telecommuting technology. We didn't have the ability to communicate and do VTCs and so forth. And I'm here to tell you, my friends, you do not have to be in D.C. to have a classified, highly sensitive, classified meeting, exchanging documents and conversing at a very high, top secret, sensitive, compartmented information type of meeting all the way across the United States and all the way across the world. So why is it that our representatives of our sovereignties have to be in Washington, D.C.? I think it's time we downsized everything in Washington, D.C. and moved it. And if you read my first book, I talk about the brilliance of doing this. And anyway, the idea did not just come to me. It was really more of the divine hand of providence. But if you understand the strategic interests that are sitting in Washington, D.C., now here, there's a pro and con to this. We have a huge single point failure if Washington, D.C. blows up, right? But what happens if all of a sudden, we have distributed all of our governments out to all the different states and so forth, we no longer have a single point failure. Do you get it? And as a matter of fact, we don't necessarily have to have a White House in Washington, D.C. We can make the People's House, and by the way, the People's Houses shouldn't be houses of opulence. But that's another story. But I am here to tell you, it's the same thing with SCOTUS. All of this stuff can be moved into the virtual world where you, as a member of the Supreme Court, can function and operate out of your own home or out of a small seat of government at the county level. With technology today, there's no reason why we're not doing this. And this is, I talked about this in my book, my first book, We the People, Whose Constitution Is It Anyway? I'm just doing a shameless plug, of course. So you're more than welcome to buy that book. And oh, by the way, Christmas is coming. And if you want, if you can go to my website, mobistrippress.com, buy a copy, because I sign every physical book that goes out. I leave a little note very specific to the individual so that hopefully it inspires you to get involved. But we have the incentive of starting to break up the states. Because if you understand the Senate could easily be overwhelmed by the states of Europe. The Senate could be easily overwhelmed by the states of Central and South America or Africa. And next thing you know, we would have a huge influence of people that do not understand American culture and so forth. That takes a long time to get there. We have to maintain some level, and I'll just use the word dominance, not for a right, wrong, or indifferent, but it helps set a paradigm that we have to protect our culture and the concepts that the framers embedded into our culture of individual liberty and individual sovereignty, because I'm here to tell you the rest of the world does not understand that. If you look at how the rest of the world works, I have a little article that I'm going to be reading, and I was going to read it today, but I just don't have the time now. But I'm going to read this article of an individual. I got it from an old friend down at the Constitution Association who got this from somebody I don't know that was out on, I think it was the Peace Corps or something like that, that, you know, went out and served after they graduated as, I don't know, Doctors Without Borders, whatever. And it's in the story, and I'm going to read this thing in its entirety because it is very, very important that you understand that we have to start breaking this republic into smaller states so that we have 400 states here. That way, when we start bringing in other states, because bottom line, I've just let the genie out of the bottle. It's in my book. The genie has been out of the bottle. This idea, these paradigms will continue to grow. Estonia would rather be a member of the United States than a member of the United Nations. The reason we have a United Nations and the initial concept of the League of Nations was to destroy and marginalize the United States. Our constitutional republic is superior in so many ways, it is unfathomable to understand why we are a part of the UN. More and more people are realizing that the UN is a parasitical organization that is out to destroy this republic and move us into a globalist type of ideology. Anyway, I apologize, I'm out of time, but we will get the rest of this into our next episode. God bless. I am G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the republic. And we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.